Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome once again to Waves of Glory. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I am your Marketplace Apostle. God wants to bless you this morning with a thought from His Word. We are going to once again be talking about the gospel message that Jesus Himself preached. It is the message that He commissioned His disciples to preach, and it is the message that we should be preaching in our churches today and across the nations. However, we have deviated just a little from the gospel in that we are only preaching the first half of the message, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But what we want to learn to do is to tell the people why Jesus was crucified. In days past, we are told that He was crucified to take away the sin of the world, and that is the truth. But something else was going on in the process of Jesus the Christ being crucified, buried, rose on the third day, and ascended back into heaven. There is more to it than just taking away the sin of the world. His word is sure. Today our topic is, what is your inheritance? Now, you and I both understand that an inheritance is something that is given to you, left to you, once somebody has died. And our synopsis this morning is this. On the cross, Jesus Christ uttered these words, "It is finished." But those words did not signify an end, but rather a beginning of all things new, restoration of what mankind had lost in the garden. He had given to us a kingdom and dominion with a new covenant, yes, indeed, a new assignment, or rather restoration of that which was ours prior to the fall. He gave us a supernatural state of ruling and reigning, exercising dominion in the earth. So today we're going to talk about the will, reading the will, so to speak, and discover what our benefactor, who is Jesus, left for each of us. I hope that you are tuned in today to Waves of Glory so that you can hear what your inheritance is according to the Word of God. First, we're going to define inheritance. Inheritance is defined as an estate derived from an ancestor to an heir, glory to God, by succession or in the course of law. Once we understand that the Word of God is not a religious book, but it is the Word of God out of the mouth of God. It is the mandate of God. It is the instruction of God. It is the protocol of God. We will cease to be held captive by religious rhetoric. So when we're talking about inheritance, continuing to define inheritance as an estate which the law cast on a child or other persons as the representative of the deceased ancestor, the reception of an estate by hereditary right. That's what an inheritance is. And we know that Jesus the Christ died on the cross. And on the cross He said, "It is finished." So then we are heirs of the promises of God. We are heirs of the will that has to be read in order for us to take advantage of the things that are written in the will. Reading from my book, Apprehending the Kingdom of God. This is chapter 4, and you want to get your copy here at Amazon.com. But in chapter 4, we're going to read this. Our inheritance is made sure in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 to 17, which states, "With the death of the testator, the inheritance is transferred." Glory to God. The inheritance has been transferred by the death of the testator. I pray for you this morning, my beloved, that you would get a revelation through the Spirit of the living God, that God would enlighten the eyes of your understanding and grant you revelation in the knowledge of God, that an inheritance has been transferred unto you. This is not just religious rhetoric. This is not just for you to sit up in a building on a weekly basis and quote scripture, but an actual inheritance has been transferred from God to you through the death of the Son, Jesus Christ. When we read that we are joint heirs with Jesus, that has more to do with the living in the now than it has to do with living in the sweet by and by. I know that there is a day when we come into the marriage feast of the Lamb, but today, praise God, you have received an inheritance, and it is up to each one of us to activate in that, take advantage of that inheritance instead of waiting till the sweet by and by. God wants you to use your inheritance today. Amen. I really get excited when I'm talking about the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom is what Jesus preached. And then he commissioned his disciples to go and to preach the very same thing that he was preaching. And then that message has been passed down to us from generation to generation. However, somewhere along the way, we decided that we would leave that part of the gospel message out, and we would only preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. But I'm here to awaken you to the revelation knowledge of the kingdom of God today so that the church once again can operate in power and in authority. We must apprehend the kingdom of God, the entire gospel message, not just a portion of it. And today we are discussing our inheritance through the transfer of a kingdom, transferred by death. Glory to God, I get excited. I hope you understand now what was truly happening as Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Yes, he took away the sin of the world, but likewise he transferred something to his followers. Amen to that. Legally, that's the word we want to talk about. An inheritance has to do with something legally. It's a matter of law. It's a matter of a point of law, not religion. So legally, in order for a will to take effect, it is necessary to prove that the one who made the will is actually dead. Is that not right? And so when we are in the natural, have a relative who dies and it's time for the reading of the will, we must have a coroner's report or a death certificate, a certification of death, in order for that will to take effect. Lord have mercy, I'm going somewhere with you this morning. And so it never takes effect while the one who made it is living. That's why sometimes when people disappeared, legally, you have to wait 7 years. If there is no evidence that the person died but that they're just missing, you have to wait a minimum of 7 years in order for the court to declare them dead. Once they have been declared dead, everything in the will takes effect immediately. So then, knowing this, the Roman soldier attested to Christ's death when he pierced him in his side, and both blood and water flowed out. That was government certification that the person on the cross was indeed dead, that Jesus the Christ was indeed dead. When we have that certification, then the will takes effect immediately. Death was certain and certified by a government official. Jesus had already put us in the will when he conferred the kingdom on disciples. We talked about that, and it talks about that in the Word of God. We talk about it in this book, Apprehending the Kingdom. You need to get yourself a copy of this book because we are breaking it down in a way you probably haven't heard it before. If you have heard it before, it's time to pass it on. So we're talking about proof that the person who wrote the will is dead. As further proof, when he arose from the dead, he showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them that he was indeed the same person who was on the cross. He showed them the holes. He was the Jesus who had been crucified, who died, and who was buried in the tomb. So then, now the will was in full effect, and the inheritance to the benefit of the inheritors was now activated. You and I are among the inheritors or the heirs of the kingdom. Do you hear me this morning? We are, in fact, the heirs of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus taught before he left, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom." He was always talking about inheritance throughout the messages that he preached. He kept alluding to the fact that there was more to come. On the cross, he did utter those words, "It is finished." And when it is finished, when it was finished, that is exactly the moment that it began. When we read the will, we find great and precious promises there. If you read Hebrews chapter 9 in your Bible, you'll find it. Great and precious promises. We've been reconciled to God and restored to righteousness, or what we call right relationship with God. Now we can fulfill all the will. Now we can activate it. Now we can manifest it. The whole of creation, the Bible tells us, is waiting for us to take our inheritance. They're waiting for us to stand up and be the sons of God. They're waiting for us to take advantage of the inheritance that's been left for us. Amen to that. With kingdom power and authority that has been given to us, we can heal sickness and disease. That's what Jesus did and told us that those signs would follow us. We could raise the dead, and we can. We can cast out devils from our communities. We can eliminate poverty and lack. We can subdue kingdoms, which is governments, which is authorities, which is demonic forces in action here in the earth realm. We can do the works of righteousness. We can stop the mouths of lions. Excuse me. The Word of God says our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Because we have now come to the throne of dominion through the inheritance that we have received, we can shut the kingdom of the enemy down because we are seated in power and majesty and authority and dominion. God has given us authority in the earth to take control of this particular domain where the enemy has been running rampant. I'm telling you, this is an amazing story, the story of the kingdom of God. Who shall inherit, and what is our inheritance? Excuse me. In order to find out, someone has to read the will and execute the terms within the will. Every time a person writes a will, he or she designates someone to be the executor of that particular will, to read it to its participants and to make sure that the right portions of inheritance go to the right people. Now, in the kingdom and concerning our divine inheritance, the Holy Spirit is the executor of the will of God. Hallelujah. For the word says that he knows the mind of the Father, and he is able to execute the will of God. When it comes to the power of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the word of God says that he has been given this task to divide severally to whoever he will. He has the authority to give unto us gifts and promises severally as he will. Amen to that. So he is in the earth to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 25, verse 11 through 13 declares, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant." That word covenant means testament. The word testament means will. And we have in our Bible two divisions. We have the Old Testament. Is that right? We have the New Testament. And when you go ahead and research that word testament, it is talking about a will. My goodness, if you would just shift your mindset this morning from religion to the fact that this Bible is a manual, it is a divine constitution for the governing of the kingdom of God, you will begin to access your rights and privileges according to the legal ramifications of the will of God. When we hear the word the will of God, our mind does not go to the legality of a will, but we go to a religious mindset that has been perpetrated over the years. Amen. People did what they felt was right. They believed according to the amount of light and revelation that was given at that time. But God is even the more shining the light of revelation on his word so that he can build up the body of Christ. So this is the season when he is revealing the light on the gospel message of the kingdom of God. So don't keep holding on to your religious precepts and concepts, but take hold of the entire word of God. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak new revelation to you concerning the kingdom of God. There is an inheritance to which you are entitled. It is called the kingdom of God. That inheritance is to be accessed right here on the earth. Listen, Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The heavens, yea, the heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the children of men." Now, let me say this about that. When we are studying kingdom protocols and what happens in the light of a kingdom, we find that when a king wants to extend his domain, he goes into that domain and decides what portion he wants as his kingdom, and then as an extension, of his kingdom. And then he sets and appoints leaders, rulers over that particular domain so that they can execute the will of the king in that area. When we were first formed as a nation, we were formed as a people who came out of Great Britain, and we came over here because the king wanted to extend his domain, and he set up governors over particular regions. Praise the name of the Lord. And so now we who are joint heirs of the kingdom of God have been established in the earth. Adam was the first ruler who was established on the earth as an extension of the kingdom of God. God formed a garden, planted, put everything in it that he was needed. He set the sun, the stars, and the moon in order. He filled the sea with fishes and teeming with creatures. He filled the earth with birds and bugs and whatever else that was needed for the ecosystem to keep the earth moving. And after he had done all those things, he sent out a man and set him in the garden to exercise dominion over all the works of his hand so that he might extend the kingdom of God from the heavens into the earth. Adam, our first father, lost dominion over to the serpent, the Satan, and when Jesus came in the earth, Satan took him up to a high mountain and promised to give him the kingdoms of the earth if he would just bow down to him. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus already knew that the kingdom of the earth God had already given unto man, and he knew that his purpose in the earth was to restore dominion to man, and therefore he would not bow to that, that proposition of the enemy, because Satan, yes, indeed, at that moment had authority over the kingdoms of the earth. But Jesus already knew that he was on a mission to defeat the enemy and to gather up the spoils and to restore dominion to mankind. And so I want you to understand this morning that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was talking more about cleansing you from your sin. He was talking about more than just making a place for you to ascend from the earth into the heavens. But he was saying to all of the powers and the principalities that had taken over the domain of earth that it is finished, and everything that God had purposed from the beginning was now in fact in store and restored, that the man was now once again in charge of the domain which is called earth, that the kingdom of God once again had extended its reach into the earth region. And this morning, my friends, my beloved brothers and sisters, God wants you to begin to rule and to reign in the earth, to establish the kingdom of God wherever there are people of God, wherever there is a child of God, wherever there is a plan of God. He wants you to be the emissary to establish the will of God in the name of Jesus. He wants you to rise up with the crown of power and authority. He wants you to go through your domain, and anything that's not according to the divine will of God, he wants you to eradicate. He wants you to go where there are sick people and heal the sick, because in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. Where there are dead people, people who have fallen, like Jesus raised the young man even on the way to the funeral. His mother was a widow, and he was her only son, and there she was in grief. Jesus went over to the funeral bier, and he touched that dead person and raised them to life again. Let the God of the universe and the executor of will, who is the Holy Spirit, lead you and guide you. You have been given authority to raise the dead as you are led by the executor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have been given authority to eradicate lack and poverty in the earth. Jesus said unto Judas, when he was making a noise about the woman who had the alabaster box, who had broken it to anoint him for his burial, Judas was upset, saying that this thing could have been sold to raise money for the poor. But Jesus said, "It's time for me to be anointed for death. You're going to have an opportunity to minister to the poor. You're going to have an opportunity always to take care of the poor. But for here and for now, this particular alabaster box is broken for preparing me for my burial." So when we talk to extend the kingdom of God into the poverty area, then we go with the good news of the gospel message of the kingdom, that our Father supplies all of your need according to his riches and glory. And not only are we to preach that message, but we are supposed to enlighten them as to how God brings increase in their lives. For once again, in Psalm 115:16, it lets us know that the word of God says, he should shall increase you more and more, you and your children. This is a point in the kingdom of God. We must begin to preach the kingdom like never before. We must first understand and know that we have an inheritance. That inheritance is more than going to heaven. That inheritance is ruling and reigning and exercising dominion in the domain which is called earth, which is an extension of the kingdom of God. Let the Spirit of the Lord deal with your heart today. Let him raise you up to power and majesty. Let him cause you to understand what it means to be seated in heavenly places. Excuse me this morning. When we are seated in heavenly places, understand that in kingdom protocol, to have a throne next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, gives you a position of power. It gives you a position of honor. It means that God acknowledges that you are a ruler. And so, therefore, it is time for us to take up our rulership in the earth. We are to take dominion over the work of God's hands. People want to say, if there is a God, why is there evil in the earth? Why are people being murdered in the streets? Why are people killing children? It is because the church of the living God, the servants of the Most High God, have not actually realized that we have dominion over the spirit of murder. And yes, it is a spirit this morning that has entered into the heart of a man or woman who would take the life of another, even as Judas Iscariot was sitting at the table with Jesus himself, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the miracle worker, the healer, the divine one. Judas sat in his presence, but the word of God declares that Satan entered into his heart. And once Satan entered into his heart, he stood up from the presence of an almighty God and went out to betray him. I want you to know this morning that Satan has entered into the hearts of many that you will encounter in the earth, as it is up to you as a child of the King who has been given dominion, and you have a kingdom conferred on you. You have a crown of authority on your head. It is up to you to deal with that demonic presence and to set the captive free, to open the prison doors for them that are bound. It is up to you, child of God, to make sure that there's no gang activity on your street. It is up to you, child of God, to make sure that the needs of the poor are met, and not just for telling them to call 911 or 411 or all of these natural government agencies that reach out to people who are poor. And then when a person calls up to that number, they will say, oh, there's no more money. The need was so great that all of the money is being spent. But in the wilderness, Jesus said to his disciples, when they explained to him that the people needed to disperse and go into the village to get something eat, Jesus said, you feed them. Glory be to God. And they begin to speak in the natural terms of, we don't have enough food, we don't have enough money. But Jesus began to demonstrate the kingdom of God and its power. And he took those little fish and loaves of bread and spoke over them, gave thanks, and began to break bread, because he knows that there is no lack in the kingdom of God, and everything we need is already supplied. And I know you're trying to say that, yeah, that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. But the word of God tells me that he is in us in this day, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, so that the God of the universe has come to take up residence in the child of God. Therefore, it is not we who do the work, but the Father who abides on the inside of us. If we would rise up in this hour and understand we are kingdom people and we have kingdom power and authority, then we could walk into a house that has two fish and five loaves of bread. We could speak over it, bless it, break it, and see that multiplied. God is willing at this hour to cause the miraculous to happen so that the sons of God are manifest. We're not going to be manifest because we carry a big Bible. We're not going to be manifest because we can speak in tongues, but we're going to be manifest when we begin to distribute and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. You have authority. You have power. You have come to the throne, hallelujah. You have come to the place of dominion because of the work of the cross. This is our inheritance. What you must understand about the cross of Jesus, it was the beginning. And I want to say to you today, this is our motto. This is our mission to inform the body of Christ that after the cross, there is a crown of dominion, a crown of rulership, and that crown is to be utilized right here, right now, in the earth realm, so that we may extend the kingdom of God with all of its benefits and privileges. This is my prayer today, that you would begin to get a grip on who you really are in God. This is why I've written this book, hallelujah, Apprehending the Kingdom of God, because I sat in church for 30 years not understanding that I am called to rulership, that I have a power that has been given to me by God because of the transfer from one kingdom to another kingdom. We talk about it in a religious light, but we don't really talk about it in a governmental light. And I want to get you to understand that this thing is about the government of God. It is not a religious move of God. It's a governmental takeover. And we are the emissaries and the ambassadors of God. We are his ambassadors in the earth to establish the divine government of God in every place that he establishes us. We love you this morning, and we pray that God will give you divine revelation in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would take a moment to go over to Amazon.com, and even if you don't buy the book, just look, take a peek inside. They have that technology. You can even look inside the book without even buying it. But know of a surety that there is something more than just three songs and a sermon, more than just putting an offering in and clapping hands and running the aisles. There's more that God wants you to have. I love you this morning, beloved. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I am your marketplace apostle. God has sent me into the marketplace to help you get to your wealthy place, not only spiritual wealth, but physical wealth as well. But you must first apprehend kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love you this morning. I bless you, and I pray that God will begin to just deal with your heart over the next few days, that you will get a hunger to know what your inheritance is in the kingdom of God. I bless you, and we hope to see you next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern here on Waves of Glory. Have a great week.